We're back, and I hope you are off to a good start this Monday morning. I'm here with Mash Sifut. We are busy talking about all the good shit this morning to get your Monday off to an awesome start. And I don't know whether you know this, Mash, but there was this big thing, you know, talking about men and EQ and emotional intelligence and all of this stuff. Well, the biggest question on the internet for men to grapple with last week was if you had 100 men versus one gorilla, who would win? You saw that.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. So old news.
Yeah.
Now people are asking, what about one Gorlok the Destroyer versus 100 gorillas?
What's Gorlok the Destroyer?
You know, okay, well, you know what? You're in luck, because I can show you what Gorlok the Destroyer looks like. You got a picture of her? There we go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Did that give you a fright?
Wait, is that a name?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the real name is. By the way, any luck, James, on getting Gorlok as a guest?
Let me
oh,
see.
But you have tried to DM Gorlok.
Gija.
I'm going to try and use AI to identify her. Let's see. I'm using AI to identify her.
Are you going to use Google Image Reverse?
I'm using Apple Intelligence to identify
her. Oh, okay.
Let's see. It's
let's see what
a
Apple Intelligence says her name is.
It's asking me, what would you like to know?
Who is this?
Okay.
Now, this is Mash using... using some sophisticated technology to work out who Gorlok the Destroyer is.
I don't know who this is.
You don't need any. Okay,
that's the response.
So we looked this up a while ago because Gorlok is the name that was given to that person.
Okay.
When they first went on a
podcast.
Yeah, like a there was a guy's what was it called? The what's that podcast? Anyway, doesn't matter. The fact is, Gorlok the Destroyer is actually a person who is a transgender.
Okay.
And that's the name they gave to Gorlok the Destroyer. The Whatever podcast is what it was.
Oh, yes.
The Whatever podcast. And Gorlok went on there and he stroke she is an influencer.
Okay.
Gets dressed up, does all kinds of videos. What I've got to say in defense of Gorlok, I never thought I'd say those words. In defense of Gorlok the Destroyer, she seems to be game for anything. She'll go on a podcast. She knows people are going to be rude to her. She's okay with that. You've got to admire like the toughness.
Yeah.
You know, just the brazen shamelessness of like, this is what I am.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Garrett, that's what comes with being an influencer. Being an influencer, you have to be that kind of person. You have to have tough skin, basically.
Well, this is something you wanted to talk about this morning because you say that the influencer revolution has begun.
So just like every other revolution throughout time, things are always changing and people have to keep not only themselves, but their skill set up to date. You have to also change with the times as well. So just like the industrial revolutions, influencing has its own revolutions.
Okay.
And with time, there have been a number of revolutions that have happened, but they're so subtle that nobody even realizes that they're happening at all. So I'm going to give you the insight, the 411.
Okay.
As an influencer insider.
Let's go.
When it comes to the revolution that's happening at this very moment. So I'm going to take it from the top and make you understand what revolutions have happened throughout the years. The first one would be, remember years ago, 2018, when I started being an influencer, I actually started on Twitter. Twitter was the place to be. And it was free. There was free Twitter with MTN. And then that went away. So now everybody started migrating over to Instagram. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately with Instagram, it was a thing of... the pretty ones make it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the ugly ones never really did.
The ugly ones get filtered out. So
that's
now
why I'm only a user of Instagram. I'm not saying I'm one of the pretty ones.
Yeah.
I use Instagram because I don't really want to see ugly people like Gorlok
exactly.
the Destroyer.
Exactly. 100%. You want your algorithm to show you only what you want to see, which is pretty people and nice bums.
Well, just beautiful things. Because, you know, Instagram's very good for that. And
yes.
We've talked about this so many times on the show, but I think... there are many people in the audience who agree with me that what we want is to see beautiful buildings, beautiful landscapes, beautiful pictures, sculptures, music, art, all the things, beautiful people, obviously, beautiful literature. You want to surround yourself with beauty because beauty is like an expression of divinity.
It is, 100%. You know,
there's something about something that, appreciating something beautiful just for its beauty. For example, when you sit there, and I had a lot of occasions for this over the weekend, and you look at a stretch of nature, you know, it could be a little stream, it could be a mountain, it could be could be anything. You look at it and you go, wow, that is just so beautiful. And you can feel, it's almost like butterflies in your stomach.
Ooh, yes.
You know, that's magnificent. There was a fish eagle flying over this valley.
Oh, wow.
Making that noise that a fish eagle makes.
Yes.
I just thought this, you know how many people in the world would pay, they'd give up everything they have to be here to see this now.
A lot of people.
I mean, the
eagle
is far away, but you could hear it doing that thing that fish eagles do. I can't even make
this up. That is wonderful. You don't see such things every day.
And that's beauty to me. Like, beautiful is fucking amazing. Mm. And Instagram is good at beautiful because if you're a photographer, Instagram is the best place to be.
Oh, it is.
If you are an artist or a sculptor or something like that, this is the best place to be. If you're a hairdresser, a makeup artist, and you do really good work, it's a good place to be.
Yes, it is.
So that I understand. Now, what's the next evolution after Instagram?
Yeah, so then Instagram comes along. The pretty people get popular on there. The not-so-pretty people kind of follow.
They go to TikTok.
They go to TikTok.
Right.
And then TikTok is where the next revolution begins because now it's no longer about your looks on that platform. It's about your personality. It's about what you're serving people. What?
But I've
value.
Been on TikTok, and there's no personality.
How about get a foot?
I've been there. I don't believe you. I've seen what's on there and it's not personality.
Okay, it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag of some of the stuff that you're going to be seeing on there.
All right.
But yeah, TikTok gave the people who are not so good looking a platform to be heard.
Shame.
Because they were like, okay, nobody's going to look at me. Nobody's going to listen to me if they have to look at me and focus on my looks.
And
so,
be disgusted all the time.
Yeah. No. So I'm kind of funny. I have personality because I'm not that great looking, but not that great looking for Instagram's audience. So I'm going to go on TikTok, become popular on there. Mm. Now, TikTok now surpasses Instagram. And now here comes the Instagram people, the pretty people trying to be relatable as well.
Yeah, but that's too a little disaster.
Yeah, it's a disaster because it's too little, too late. You cannot pretend to be relatable. It's either you are relatable or you're not. So that's when the next little revolution happened.
What's that?
Because now the pretty people started falling off. Being pretty was no longer enough.
Right.
And now it boomeranged back to Instagram. That whole being relatable and offering value to your audience. It relayed back to Instagram because now Instagram's doing reels. So now people on Instagram, it's not enough being pretty. Just being pretty is no longer enough. You have to give people content. You have to give people value. You have to give them something to walk away with. If you're not giving them something to walk away with, at least make them laugh.
What kind of value do you think people are looking for? Like, let's be specific here. What are people looking for when they go onto Instagram?
They're looking for tips. They're looking for hacks. They're looking for workouts. I'm sure you've seen little workouts.
Are they looking for different things on TikTok? Or are they looking for value on both? But they have different ways of presenting themselves.
They're looking for value on both, but they have different ways of presenting themselves.
All right.
Yes. So on Instagram, obviously, everything's a bit more aesthetic. Like, for example, my Instagram feed gives me lots of workouts, at-home workouts. It'll just be these guys like, oh, yeah, here's a quick workout to work on your pelvic muscles or whatever. And I do those workouts very quickly.
Pelvic muscles, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I mean, those are the ones that you got to exercise the muscles you want to use.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Pelvic muscles for MASH. Very good.
Yeah. And then you go on TikTok and your algorithm is suggesting more, I'd say, funny content. And because it knows that, okay, I like having a little bit of a laugh. I like being cheered up on this platform. Mm. So because I have built my algorithms, or rather I have fed my algorithms the information that about me that allows them to understand on Instagram that I want to see fitness content. I want to see, I'd say, funny content on TikTok. I'm getting what I want to see.
Okay.
But now there are now people who are falling off once again. Just like the first revolution where people fell off TikTok, they went to TikTok. I mean, they fell off Twitter, they went to TikTok. There's so many
tatatas
around here. They fell off Twitter, went to TikTok, and now people on Instagram are trying TikTok, they're failing at that, and now they're moving to other platforms, OnlyFans, because that's the next step.
OnlyFans is the final.
That's the final frontier. That's when you know that you failed.
Dirk says it's like every actor or musician saying how they grew up poor. Victoria Beckham was.
Exactly.
Look.
J-Lo as well.
Yeah, but I think that era is over now. No one's interested in hearing their sub stories. Sub stories must go now.
Stories must go. People aren't relatable now.
I did see a comment up there earlier, which I quite liked, is that beauty will always have currency. And I think that's true.
That is 100% true. That's never going to change.
Who said that? That's a clever person. We must give him some credit. Here's Chris Smith. There we are.
Okay, Chris. Yeah.
Here we go. Big Daddy Liberty, who, of course, is well known on the internet and who's going to be starting a show very soon for The Truth Report, says, not going to lie, I have built a social media career and a decent audience, but I fear being called an influencer. Yeah, some people do not want to be called influencers. Like, I, for example, I don't think of myself that way. And then someone said it to me the other day. I was like, well, don't get an ego now and get all like prickly about it, because that's how some people might see you.
Absolutely.
And what other people think of you is none of your business. It's you can't control business. How they see you. Mm. So I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah. That term is not going anywhere.
But you have always been an influencer.
Gareth, I've been in these streets since 2018. And I'm fortunate enough to have been,
Is it easier for you now?
No, it's not actually. Not at all. It actually keeps getting harder and harder, because in the past, it was easy as, I started on Twitter, I used to be a little troll. I used to like make fun of celebrities and politicians and all that kind of stuff. I moved to Instagram where, thank goodness, I looked half decent and I was able to take cute pictures and stay alive and survive that revolution. TikTok comes along. Thank goodness I have a twisted sense of humor.
Yeah.
So that helped me survive that as well. But what actually brought this topic up for me was the fact that a friend of mine, very big TikToker, I can't mention her name at the moment, she comes to me and she posted a TikTok yesterday actually saying that I'm leaving TikTok.
Uh-oh.
I just feel like I'm not offering you guys any value. My engagement is low. Nobody's engaging with my content. I'm leaving. Simple as that. And then I just went through some of the hashtags that she had on there, like TikTok retirement, whatever. And there's many videos of people leaving these platforms, leaving TikTok in particular.
Hallelujah.
Simply because they realize that I can't keep up with this.
Yeah, but you know, you can't have content creators in greater numbers than audience.
Absolutely.
And that's what I feel we've had for a little while now.
Yeah.
It's almost like there have been too many people to make the stuff and not enough people to watch it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I welcome anybody who wants to get off of social media. Mm. I mean, go right ahead. And I mean as a creator.
Yes.
Not as someone who watches or listens.
Yeah. That is absolutely true. And now things are changing because everyone is a creator now, if you think about it. I don't know if you've been on TikTok lately, but there's so many videos, these AI dancing videos, AI karate videos, where people just load up their pictures or a picture of their baby, and then AI makes their baby literally stand up and start dancing.
I don't ever want to see your AI baby dancing, you motherfuckers. Stop it. Please let me be clear. There is no one on earth who wants to see your baby's AI dancing routine. First of all, your baby isn't doing that. It's AI that's doing that. Second of all, you uploaded a picture of your baby. It looks like every other baby, but you think it's different. And now you want us to pretend we're entertained by this? That wasn't funny when they had that dancing baby that was in the imagination of Ally McBeal on that TV show years ago.
Yes.
It wasn't funny then. It's not funny now. I don't want to see you dancing babies. And in fact, I think you should be put in jail if you put a dancing baby on your account.
Absolutely.
Really?
Gareth, AI is taking over social media. In fact, I actually made a video about AI in particular.
I shared it with the guys.
But AI is taking over social media. The content creation landscape has completely changed because now AI is taking over everything.
What's this video you want to show us?
So I actually went ahead and compared. So my partner uses the latest and greatest Android smartphone. I'm an iPhone person. Okay. My partner is Android.
Yeah.
And I put our smartphone side by side to compare the AI capabilities.
Okay.
Because, of course, the selling point of these cell phones is no longer their cameras, how good the cameras are.
No, because for the longest time, that's been the only thing that they've improved.
It's always been iPhone, Android, camera. Yes. But now Android has caught up. So that's no longer a valid comparison, in my opinion.
In some ways, Android might have surpassed.
They have, yeah. Definitely.
So I can tell you right off the bat that Apple Intelligence is shit.
Oh, yeah, it's garbage. It's garbage.
It is absolutely the worst thing about the Apple phone compared to... And am I wrong that you compared them and that's what you found?
No, you're not wrong at all. In fact, I compared just one feature out of a sleuth of features that literally would have destroyed iPhone completely. But I just compared one feature in my video. It's a short little 30-second video.
Let's take a look. And this is also a great example of Mash the influencer, for those of you who don't know him in that respect. This is why you got to follow him for more tips.
Comparing Android and iPhone using camera quality is so outdated. In 2025, we're comparing Android and iPhone using AI quality. So I'm putting the most capable AI Android, which is the Galaxy S25, against the most capable AI iPhone, which is the iPhone 16. Let's see which phone has the best AI. So we're starting off on the Android, where I'm just drawing a little cutout of my hand. And then all you have to do is just press the generate button at the bottom. And it takes a few seconds. And in a few seconds, voila, there you go. That's what the Galaxy S25 thinks I look like. Now onto the iPhone. I start off by drawing around my hand and then I tap erase. Okay, it's not, let's try it again. One more time. Never mind.
You look terrible in that second one, hey? So that Android phone does a damn fine job.
Yes, actually, I'd like the guys to pull up the picture of me as well from the Android because...
Oh, I mean, you look, I'd say 12% better.
Garrett, this phone generated my face off of nothing. My boyfriend just bought this phone.
But I mean, you look a little... That's not entirely...
I look a bit wonky, yes.
No. I think in real life...
But it's close enough.
In real life, you don't look as good as that picture. I'm a pretty horrible man. I think that should be your profile pic. Just saying. You know? Like they've made you...
Absolutely.
You got a good look there. That should be the one you use from now.
Garrett, this was a brand new phone that had no pictures of me.
Yeah, that's...
Isn't that
that's
crazy?
That is clever.
That is freaking incredible that these phones now... Garrett, I can take a picture of someone and they can be walking behind someone else and I'll be like, damn, that girl was kind of cute. I can take out my phone and just erase the person in front of her and generate her.
There we go.
That is crazy. That's the level we're at.
This is going to be for... photos of like you and a group of friends and there's one person no one likes and you can just erase them.
We can just erase them out completely.
It's great. Like Stalin used to do with Trotsky in pictures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bona, audience, please share some suggestions with us of what you'd use these features for because I think these are going to be freaking huge.
Fantastic.
Once people actually discover them. Freaking enormous. Okay. But it's crazy how these AIs have just become so much better. And Apple's falling behind. They're just falling behind. It's unfortunate, but it's the reality of the situation.
Lots of people agreeing with you in the comments. If you have an iPhone and you want the experience of an Android camera, just put some Vaseline on your camera. Okay, so not everybody. That's Carl.
Hi, Carl. Hey, that's no longer a thing, Carl.
Dave says, I can't say I'm influenced by the sound levels on that one. Oh, did we get the sound levels right? Jagger says, in my experience, it's much easier to go viral on TikTok than on Instagram. I create content on AI plus automation. Huh.
Mm.
No, Dirk says, Tesla phone is launching to the public in the near future. Hush, hush. That will reset the mobile market. Integrated Starlink, Grok, etc.
Okay. That sounds interesting, actually.
I think you would try a new phone.
I would. I would. I'm not happy. Yeah. I'll definitely try a new phone.
I keep expecting my phone to do phenomenal, blow away, amazing thing. And it can. I mean, thanks to things like AI. But, you know, we've almost become blasé about the latest things that our phones can do. We're like, is that all?
The thing is, Gareth, we've reached a peak. Now all phones are the same. It's glass front, glass back. They're all rectangles. They're all big. They're all the same. What more can they possibly do?
I don't even know what kind of iPhone this is.
I have to look it up.
Let me tell you quickly because I need to remind myself. Someone asked me the other day, what is it? And I'm like, I don't know.
It's a cell phone.
It is called, this is an iPhone 15 Pro.
Yeah.
There's no difference between this and the 16, though.
Right? It's just the button here. It's just the camera button here.
Do you know anyone who's still got one of the old original ones?
Oh, yes, I do, actually. Yes, someone at work. Two people. Yes. One uses a 7. And she just upgraded it now. But I remember when she upgraded it, I was like, whoa, wow.
iPhone 7.
Yeah, with the button.
Ooh.
The home
remember
button.
Wow, iPhone 7.
So
let me just look. That's a piece of history.
So
yeah, it has the button
old.
In the middle.
Yes.
And it's got that one little camera.
At the back.
At the back.
Yes. So I have one colleague who is still using that. She just upgraded it. I think I bullied her into upgrading it. And
you embarrassed her.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did the Lord's work. And now there's another colleague as well using a 7 Plus. I don't know if you remember that at all.
Was that the first generation of phones they brought out with the Plus?
Yes, that was the very first generation with the Pluses, with two cameras at the back. So people are still using these phones, Gareth. Also, phones have gotten so freaking expensive.
Yes.
Remember when the iPhone X came out and it was the first $1,000 phone and people complained, but we all bought it.
You can buy a pre-owned, certified, unlocked iPhone 7 for $2,500.
That's too much. Should be free.
For an iPhone 7, it should be free.
It should be
Chris
free.
Chris says, I want a phone with an indestructible screen. Yeah, is that too hard for them to get right? Because those screens go, hey.
If you want an indestructible screen, go back to the past. Because remember the first phones? E250s or whatever, the plastic screens.
Yeah, those things were. But then you couldn't see anything on them. They were
okay.
They were like green and green and white or green and black or something. They were like the old dot matrix.
Oh, they were.
Printer stuff.
They definitely were. Yeah.
They made a sound like that when you switched them on.
I think they did as well. Yeah. But they'd
times actually
have changed.
Boot up.
Yo, but it's crazy how times have changed and our requirements and phones have changed. Now we want a phone that can erase stuff from our pictures as opposed to a phone that just takes decent pictures.
Well, I mean, you showed that off so well because what program do you use for that?
That's built into the phones.
Oh, really?
That's the phone stock standard stuff. Yeah.
So you're just on photo and you just outline something, delete.
Yeah, I just go to the photo, I touch edit, and then there's a little button on the bottom. It says clean up. And just touch clean up.
Can you take
and start cutting.
Someone who's obese and make them thinner?
No. Oh. No, our AI doesn't do that yet.
What a pity.
Yeah, AI simply doesn't do that yet. And in fact,
because they always take up so much space in the picture.
No, shame, Gareth. You know, I don't mind fat people. And also, I want to preface this. Like, I have no problem with fat people. I have no issue.
No, it's
yes,
not
Gareth
you,
does.
It's me, yeah.
Yeah, because lately, a friend of mine actually called me out quite recently.
About what?
And she was like, look, Mash, we understand you're all about fitness and all that kind of stuff, but it just feels like you're putting pressure on the rest of us. It just feels that way. And you need to calm down.
A he or she?
It's a she.
And what did you respond to that with?
And I was like, and first of all, I have to also give you the context. I don't want to give too much context because I don't want these people knowing who they are. But actually, you know what? It's fine.
I know. So, you never hold back. Go on.
So my friend was defending another friend because I have one friend who is struggling to lose weight. And yeah, so I'm always like, oh yeah, just stop eating so much. Yeah. Yeah. Duh.
Well,
hello.
That seems right to
you
me.
Know? Yeah. So I'm telling them things that I do and things that were difficult at first, but after some time, it becomes second nature, becomes a part of who you are. And by after some time, I mean just 2 weeks. That's all it takes.
Yeah, and sometimes when you've been doing it for a long time, you look at a plate of sweets and chocolates and
yes.
you go,
no, thank you.
Not interested.
No, I'm not interested. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, so
it's hard, you become used to that.
As much as I'm sharing weight loss tips and advice and all that kind of stuff on the internet, I'm also trying my best to share with my friends as well. But my friends don't really appreciate it because my one friend was like, look, you're causing our one friend to have like literally a meltdown because he's not okay because of your constant weight loss.
That's what I would immediately think. You know, when a fat person is in emotional distress, what do? They comfort eat. So
they comfort eat, yes.
So I would be worried that I was asleep in the room and they would decide, now it's time for some comfort eating.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God.
You see? Look at that poor black man being crushed to death. Look at that. That is a hate crime. That's what that is.
Oh, my goodness. She's sitting on him.
Well, she's going to eat him through her vagina by the looks of things.
But this is also an actual thing. People pay good money to be sat on by fat people.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole industry right there.
It is. Now, have you ever in your adventures, because you did OnlyFans for a while and you gave up on that.
For a minute, hey?
But you did it, which I always thought was brave and honest, and you told everybody you were doing it,
yes.
And you made a little bit of money, but it wasn't what you were hoping for, and you stopped.
Yeah.
Now,
I was stopped by choice, but yeah.
You weren't stopped by choice.
Yeah, it's because I put my bum hole as my profile picture and my account got banned.
Oh.
Yeah. I was trying to hard sell a bit.
You actually used your butthole as your profile picture.
Yeah. I was trying to hard sell a bit, but didn't work. Yeah. I've learned to soft sell since then.
I should hope so, because that's quite an aggressive tactic.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you
straight
know,
for the butthole in the profile picture.
You have to give them a glimpse inside immediately.
I wonder if there's like that's more hardcore than hardcore.
Is that hardcore, Gareth?
Well, it's your asshole. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, but
Jesus, that was your profile picture. Anyway, I'd forgotten the reasons you got off there. And would you be willing now to have fat people sit on you
for the right amount? If they
how much would it be worth? For example, I mean, we have an enormous fat person who's just waiting back in the green room now.
Oh, great.
To come up here and sit on you. How much would you need?
$5,000.
Oh, no. Then tell them to leave. tell them they can go back home. Sorry, Desiree. Just give her a cupcake and send her on her way, James.
Desiree.
Desiree's not. We brought her in. We brought a truck, a flatbed truck, and she's climbed on the back. It was quite something.
That is crazy.
And we were going to have her sit on you, but you just charged too much money.
I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, $5,000 is the price.
I love playing this game, though, of like everybody has a price, right?
Yes, so we all do.
How much would you be paid to do X, Y, or Z? I could play this game for hours.
Oh, Gareth, you already know my prices.
Okay, so what? I don't know your prices. What are your prices?
Oh, last time on the show, I told you that. Last time I came to the show, there was someone in my DMs who wanted to pay me.
Oh, yes.
To watch
I do remember this story.
Intercourse with someone.
Yes.
Yeah, and I charged them $10,000. Well, I billed them $10,000.
And they paid.
Like, they're like, nope, no thanks. For a first time, I'm willing to do six.
Oh, so you send them a quotation, effectively.
I submitted the quotation.
This is called Mashonomics for anybody who doesn't know. But Mash has a whole system. Like, if you have any kinks or weird things, like you want him to do something bizarre,
and have money.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Then you say to him, I would like you to do this. And
oh,
then
absolutely.
He will reply with a quotation.
Yes.
And then you will say, quotation accepted. Then he will send you an invoice.
Yes.
Then you will pay the invoice. Then he'll do the filthy thing.
Absolutely. That's how it works. Yeah. So this person, for people who don't know, someone came up in my DMs asking to watch me have intercourse with someone else.
Yeah.
And I it's someone from Dubai.
Yeah,
also.
That's right.
And I was like, $10,000. They're like, ooh, it's a bit too much for a first time. Maybe second time we can do that. But for now, let's stick to six. And I was like, nope, non-negotiable. $10,000 and that's it. And that's my price, Gareth. That's my price. So what is your price?
To do that?
Yes.
The person that I'm going to have sex with, is this going to be a random person?
Anyone.
Oh,
it's
no,
all
no,
up to
no,
you.
No, 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 no.
Anyone.
No, you see, I'm very picky, hey?
Yes.
And I don't love money enough to be able to put the pickiness aside.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm special, please.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Anyone who thinks, he thinks he's superior. I just don't think I would be able to actually do the act if it wasn't someone I found attractive.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if you promised me, let's say you told me $100,000.
Okay.
Like, that's big money.
Oh, it's a lot of money.
Very few people in the world who would say no to that. For one off. So you had to have a little bit of psychological trauma afterwards. You know what you do? You go and you give $10,000 to Dr. Hanan.
Dr. Hanan,
And you're fine.
You're fine.
Keep the other $90,000.
Exactly.
I think your bank account will say thank you.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like a prudish, I'm too good to do that. It's just that I don't think I'd be able to.
Yes.
Because there are very few people in the world who actually make me interested.
I completely understand.
So then, and I suppose, you know, there are people who'd also say, well, you can just pop a little blue pill and you'll be fine with whatever.
No, it's not good for you. It's not good for your heart.
$90,000, again, it's not good for you,
sure.
But you just spend a little extra time doing cardio in the gym and you lay off the other stuff.
Just have some peanuts, have some cardio, have some exercise and be good. Then you know you're going to be good.
30 years ago, people were shocked with Indecent Proposal, where a guy offered $1 million for a night with a married woman. Now we won't blink twice at this stuff. Well, that's so true, because people have no...
shame?
No shame, no morals. I mean, you've seen that girl who slept with 1,000 guys.
Oh, yes. Bunny Apparently Blue she was pregnant. Was that a joke? Apparently she thought she was pregnant.
She's ever going to find out who the father was?
No.
Out of those 1,000 men?
No.
It's like a lucky packet.
Sure. Does she even have their details? It was just weird.
Don't think she's going to go after them for alimony. Yeah. The kind of guys who will line up to have sex with Bonnie Blue or whatever. Yeah. It is Bonnie Blue, right? The kind of guys who would do that are not the kind of guys who are stable.
Oh, they're not.
Father material.
They're absolutely
not. So she's not going to go searching through the records of those 1,000 men to find the husband.
Mm-mm.
You know, of
none
her
of those men
of her
are
dreams,
baby daddies.
Of her dreams.
Yeah.
No, and the kid doesn't want to know who the father is.
Yeah.
The kid barely, I'm sure, will want to know who his mother is. Because you know what, Mash? Now we're getting to the stage where a lot of these girls who've been on OnlyFans are becoming moms.
Oh, they're becoming mothers. They're becoming wives now.
Right. And then they get introduced to the husband's family or at a work function of his.
Absolutely.
And they're like, hi, I'm Bunny. I just married John. Hi, John. Hi, Bunny. So, Bunny, what do you do? And John is like, ixnay on the fucking job. Don't tell them about what you do.
So now my
Where did you guys meet? You know how someone says that sometimes? And you would just tell the couple gets super uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Because they met each other on
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans or in a terrible place,
right?
And they are embarrassed and they don't want to be honest about it. And the kids are embarrassed one day. You know, you go to school, suddenly all your friends are like, hey, your mom, Bunny Blue, fuck these 1,000 guys. You're the child of one of them.
And kids are so
How
mean.
How embarrassing for children.
Oh, kids are so mean. They'd say that to
no
a
No one's thinking about this.
Yeah. Nobody thinks about this. It's because I feel like because this is the first generation of these adults.
Yes.
The first generation of these people getting married, these people building families. So we have no history or no case studies to see what happens with their marriages. Do their marriages work in the long run?
Yeah.
Gareth, you might find out that only marrying an OnlyFans model is the best thing you could possibly do. Maybe they're the most maturest people.
Maybe because
they've
also
been banged out.
They've been banged out. They've fucked their system completely up.
Absolutely.
Right, so they start again.
Their emotional intelligence is on another
level. They've reset the clock.
It is so high. It is so high. When you've taken that much penis,
right,
your emotional intelligence
maybe
is so high.
That's,
I'm sure.
Maybe you're making a very valid point here, Masha. You know, we immediately jump to the worst conclusion. What if the best is possible?
Gareth,
like,
I'm telling
you. It's totally rewired them.
After 10 years, maybe 7 years, you'll see articles that marrying OnlyFans models is the best thing you can do for yourself.
Well,
the most loyal wives.
Carl wants to know here, Mash, can I pay 50% deposit and then the balance if I'm happy? Just now the other person is fat or has pimples. I'd want a refund.
The other person is not fat or has pimples. The other person is my partner. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Bitcoin Butt says you pay by weight. B says, I had a friend who was offered 10 grand a month to shag 3 times a week. The guy is married. Ish.
Did your friend take it? That's so interesting. That's a reality as well, hey?
See, I think people are bored.
People are bored.
So there's partly that it's actually just defeating boredom.
Yeah.
Then there are people who are deeply unhappy in their relationship. They're not just bored.
Yeah.
Unhappy. Then they go searching for other things.
Mm.
You hear about these people who've been married for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the husband says, I'm going out to get milk, and he just never comes back.
Absolutely.
And he's got another family in another town. Mm. You know those
people? That happens. Woo. Yes. That's a reality as well. But also another thing is, you know, sometimes as much as people get bored, as much as all that kind of stuff, every now and then some people are just whores.
Yeah, yeah.
We can also
just
say
whores,
people are just whores. Some people just do it for fun.
Yeah. I mean, here's something else that Dirk says that I think is quite true. Dirk's being the most, I'm going to award the most interesting and most thoughtful commentator in the comment section today to Dirk Kutsi, who says, everyone is trying to get their coin before AI and the sex robots take over.
Absolutely.
That's true, right?
Absolutely.
Because soon it's not going to be necessary to imagine.
Yeah.
Soon it's not going to be necessary to have real people involved. You will be able to go into some terrible, terrible world where you're not even dealing with real people.
Yeah. You can just walk into some booth and get sucked off and walk right out by an AI.
And AI will be
and
like...
And life continues right from there.
You don't even need to pay me.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, hi, Gareth. Oh, I'm feeling so refreshed. That's just going to be reality going forward.
So if anyone was wondering why Mash arrived here in shorts and a t-shirt on a cold winter's day, now you know, he's got AI at home to sort out all his needs. All right, let's turn our attention to something that's actually... in a very, very indirect way related. It's a terrible introduction, but it does count because we're talking about finance magnates. Now, these guys are on the cusp of what the fintech industry is doing. They're also very, very sharp when it comes to the investing community. I went to this, was it last year or was it the year before, and hosted a panel discussion with, among other things, the Reserve Bank.
Yes.
And we talked about cryptocurrency, so this will be interesting for the likes of Bitcoin Butt in here. And Jonathan Fine is the head of content strategy at the Finance Magnates Group, which is a premier provider of news, events, and research for the fintech and investing community. Now, Jonathan oversees the development of content at the group's website and events worldwide and is passionate about delivering insightful, unorthodox experiences. He's also an award-winning author of two fiction books and a literary translator. So don't ever try and say people can just be one thing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the Finance Magnates Africa Summit 2025, which last year was held in Johannesburg, but this year they're doing it in Cape Town, May 29 to 30th. Jonathan, it's nice to see you. How are you?
Great. I'm still recovering from what I've seen so far in the show.
Yeah, can you believe what you heard before you joined us, huh?
Yes, and I added a dollop of scotch to my morning coffee just to make sure that I can match the level.
You see, there's nothing like this show to get you started in the morning. Okay, but I'm very, very interested in what you guys are doing. I was at FMAS last year, and I thought it was fascinating. Lots and lots of people there. All the people who are interested in various things to do with finance, you know, what you can, how you can move money, where you can invest money, what you can do with money, cryptocurrency. There are all kinds of things that you guys are able to host at this event. Just for people who've never been there, like Mash, for example, tell us from the ground up what FMAS is.
Okay. So FMAS, an acronym for Finance Magnates Africa Summit, is a gathering of both investors and fintech industry participants, which means the people who build the infrastructure and the ecosystem that we all rely on to do all the great things that you've just discovered, just shared with us.
Mm.
And that's what they do there. There are content sessions, there are networking opportunities. The idea is to put together a conference that allows people to connect in an unstructured way, in an immediate way, and to see firsthand where things are moving, both on the markets and on the tech space, which converge if you look at the top stocks and so on.
They are converging, but I'm also curious about why Africa is becoming a new frontier for financial innovation, because there are so many people who just write Africa off and they go, well, you know, they'll catch up eventually. But you guys are very positive about Africa. Why do you think it's such an interesting place for this kind of innovation?
Firstly, it's the most, it's the youngest continent and the fastest mm-hmm. growing one as well. So it would be very unwise to overlook it, I would say, in terms of client base. Second, the level of infrastructure and the ability to adopt, the word would be adoption, is high there and is allowing for startups to create things either from the ground up or to use innovation as a way to cater to real and concrete needs in terms of banking services, of cross-border payments. So the potential is there, the growth is there. Increasingly, the talent is there. So I don't really see a reason why not to look at it. You have unicorns there. A lot of the fintech VC money is pouring, or a lot of the VC money is pouring into fintech startups in Africa. So it's quite ripe for that sort of an event. And we identify the need. We identify the desire, the wish to come together in the way that the conference offers.
So you mentioned youth. You mentioned that it's a fast moving and exciting environment, but also we're a mobile first continent, and people, you don't have to be rich to be in the investment community. You don't have to be rich to trade in various assets and cryptocurrency and all the rest of it, right? You can start small, and this is what a lot of people have done, and some of them have done very, very well from it.
Mm. By all means. On the one hand, we need to be cautious and take with a grain of salt the premise and promise of not even get rich quick. No one says that anymore.
Yeah.
But of democratizing the markets. You know, many a times the jargon is one thing and the reality is another. That said, and by the way, the FSCA, the local regulator, is very alert to how education should work and how these beginner traders or investors should be treated, what sort of education they should be provided with, what you can or cannot tell them or promise them. And you've discussed somewhere an eternity ago, before all the fun stuff, the influencer thing, and I would add the finfluencer thing. So we definitely see the need to distinguish between false or half truth and promises, and the real ability to take to allow someone to enter the market in a way that benefits him. So the conference puts a lot of emphasis on that, in the sense that how allowing and bringing in to the stock market and other asset classes the sort of investors that would benefit from it. And you can start small, as you said.
I'm glad you brought up the FSCA in South Africa, because last time I actually introduced a speaker called Awelani Raulani, who was from there, and he had some very, very interesting things to say about the scammers and these people who present themselves, Mash, as being influencers. And I like that word finfluencer you used earlier. How do you first, Jonathan, how do you look for the real people that you should be paying attention to, giving valuable information that everybody should look at and listen to, pay attention to, and the people who are just scammers, frauds, crooks? How do you tell?
Well, first, it grows on you, and it takes time to understand exactly who's who. But, and the conflict is that you want to be local. You want to give local meaningful voices a stage, because it's not a canned event that we bring from other places. We have events in London, Hong Kong, Limassol, and so on. But as one of the curators of the agenda, I keep asking myself, what's the valuable thing for the local audience? So on the one hand, you want new faces, you want fresh voices. But on the other, as you said, you need to vet, and you need to make sure that it's not a cat in the bag. So, I mean, there are the obvious signs, any Lamborghinis, any flashy cars, any too neat videos are an ominous sign that you may not get what you see. What else? Followership. By the way, you can see the sort of engagement that people has. If I see someone on LinkedIn with over 3,100 followers, it's not a good sign for me. It may seem paradoxical, but it's not. So again, the sort of engagement that people has, obviously the primary screeners of where people work, what they do, and so on. We have investors, when we had several educators there at the event, and they also published a book, many of them. So you can see what they've done in the past. So there's sort of credibility that adds up, when you examine who's who.
Okay, so Mash, what do you look for? when you're looking for the difference? Because I'm sure you follow some people when it comes to money as well.
Yes.
These people who pose around cars, they usually don't own those cars,
the
right?
The Forex guys on social media. Guys. It's so easy to fall for some of this stuff, right? Because people get misled so much on social media.
They get sold a dream.
They all think that, look, finance is all about just having the biggest, most flashiest car, and that's it. They don't actually understand what actually goes into fintech. So I'm really interested in getting to know about the people as well, Jonathan. What has it been like working with African fintech founders, investors, and creatives? Are there any standout moments for you?
First, I want to add on the former topic, a pro tip for any investor or would-be investor that is listening or watching us, and that hone your geography skills and your TNC reading capabilities. When you look at a website, when you look at someone offering you investment services, scroll down to the TNC, often font size 6, color the same as the background, but nevertheless, try to see if they are regulated by the prominent and stringent jurisdiction of Santa Lucia or any other island somewhere over the rainbow. You may want to examine or at least know what you're doing. I mean, on the one hand, there is the issue of leverage that some regulators limit. So it's not a good or bad question, but it's
know your broker,
KYB. You know, brokers are committed to do KYC. Traders and investors, in my view, are committed to do KYB, and the conference is dedicating some time to learn how to do that. So that's one on the heels of the previous question. As for the working with local entrepreneurs and so on, I would say that the one thing that I've noticed that is slightly different between the African guys and gals I've been in touch with and others is that sort of energy that you don't quite get elsewhere. I mean, this conversation that you guys held is one testament to that. But when you speak with founders, when you speak with these guys, it's always like there is a great, I wouldn't say radiance, it's a bit strong, but you get this sense they want to do things. They have, and I have a friend who worked there and did that. Let's bring him over. Let's see what we can do. You know, there's this,
you're right.
I don't know if it's a Cape Town drag and parlance or pan South African, but one way or another, in my conversation with several designated speakers, that's the sort of traction and energy that I sense that stood out to me.
Also, I mean, anyone who wears a suit in Dubai, I'm always suspicious of. I'm like, you know how hot that is there? Walking outside in a suit with sunglasses on, standing next to a Ferrari or Lamborghini. But I do want to move on to this quickly, because you're a foreign industry leader and you're entering a local market and you're pushing for a summit that is very African, which I think is quite exciting. And clearly what you guys are doing here is very good news for the continent, because I do believe not only are we a good market for this, but we could be a real hub of innovation. We've figured out the solution to problems which might only exist in Africa for now. But ultimately, if we figure out those solutions, we can take them and make them solutions across the rest of the world. Don't you think so?
Yes, Africa, one of our sessions is called The Future of Crypto, Lessons from Africa, which taps exactly to that point that you've made, because many things in Africa, in the infrastructure, in the ability to adopt, in the younger generation, can serve as a pretext or as, again, testing grounds even for other regions. And it's no coincidence, I think, that Flutterwave and Stitch and other giants or would-be giants or to-be giants have started in South Africa or in Africa and go global. M-Pesa included, by the way, in terms of pioneering an innovative way to transfer funds or value. So,
well,
yes,
Jonathan,
being a local, you know, yes.
Thank you so much. I'm afraid we're out of time, but I wanted to thank you and remind people that the FMAS, that's the Finance Magnates Africa Summit, held 29th to 30th of May at the Cape Town International Convention Center. And if anybody wants to know, they can go to your website. It's very easy to find. Just type in FMAS, right?
Yep.
There we
Correct.
Go. Very good. And thank you. Okay. Well done. We'll see you in Cape Town.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy. Thank you. That's Jonathan Fine, the head of content strategy for Finance Magnets. So that's very cool.
That is so interesting.
All the finfluencers. How do you like that, Mash?
It's about time we had proper platforms for these finfluencers, Shane, because it's so hard to discern between the scammers and the actual finfluencers.
Right. Well, you can usually tell because the scammers
are flashy
and have bad breath. That's what I think. That's what I've been told that. All right. I just want to show you one quick thing to round up today's show because we've gone everywhere today. And we didn't even get to half your family stories, but we'll get to those eventually. So this is a video that is trending all over the internet this morning of Keir Starmer of Britain, Emmanuel Macron, and a German guy who is apparently their main negotiator.
Oh.
They all allow the press into their little cabin. I think it's on a plane.
Okay.
And then watch what happens on the table. Because this is now the office that Emmanuel Macron and Keir Starmer and this German guy have been using. And there's some paraphernalia on the table, which it took people 2 seconds to figure out what was going on there.
Okay.
See if you can pick this up. I think this tells you what's really going on with these kind of middle-of-the-road leaders that we've got in Europe at the moment. I mean, Emmanuel Macron, no one's going to remember him in 100 years from now. Mm. Keir Starmer, no one's going to remember him in 100 years from now.
Yeah.
And this German guy, I can't even remember him now. So here it is. Take a look at this clip and you tell me what you see going on here. All right. Our audience are very smart people. I know you'll figure it out. What is happening there? You want to see it again?
Yes, please. Okay. Just one more time.
Pay attention. The German guy, who's the one on the right of your screen, removes a tiny little silver spoon off the table. But the sort of spoon that you wouldn't even use that for mustard.
It's so tiny.
And Emmanuel Macron takes a little bag of white powder.
Okay.
Which they would have used the spoon to administer. And takes that off the table. So watch again now that you know what it is.
Why would they have that stuff out to so many cameras? You can literally hear cameras.
You see, they let the media in without thinking to clear the table.
It's because it's such a common thing for them. It's just another Tuesday.
Right.
Don't even think about it.
They stopped caring about it.
Yes. So people out here are junkies. These world leaders are junkies.
World leaders, Mash. Those are the people that we're hoping will stop World War III.
They can't even stop white powder from going up their own damn noses.
They can't even hide it from the media. Forget making it go up their nose. They can't even think before they let the press in with their cameras to take the stuff off the table. Oh, guys, you know, I know we're all pretending to be leaders and we don't know what the fuck's going on, but let's at least pretend better. Let's at least clear the table of all our cocaine paraphernalia. I mean, you could tell what's going on there. A blind man could tell what's going on there.
They're so nonchalant. That's what's worrying me, is that this is how it is then.
It's also what happens, though.
So does this mean that other world leaders who hang out with them are doing the same thing?
Bitcoin Boot says that is an icing sugar spoon. Yes, of course. That's correct. That's very, very sharp of you, Bitcoin Boot. Yeah? Steve says, baggy schnaff. Yep, Steve, that's correct. Anyone else want to guess? James, did you see what that was? And by the way, Super Megalol says these guys are lit. They weren't. They were still fucking boring, even after the cocaine, which tells you all you need to know. Look at how dull they all were. I mean, Keir Starmer.
Who's sitting there all dull? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
What a bunch of retards, really.
Wow. Have they hung out with our president before? I hope not. Ooh, Cyril, I don't even want to think about it, Garrett. This is too traumatizing.
They think they're untouchable, Colombian nose candy, not even Hitler slipped up like that. These are all comments from people. Global leaders also need to have fun at 30,000 feet, but they don't even look like they were having fun. That's the worst part about it. Oh, anyway, I just thought you should see that because you're going to see it today on the internet.
Then they're going to go and pass legislations.
They're going to ban drugs. The war on drugs. We need to stop this. People are taking too many drugs.
This circles back to what we discussed when the show began, that people who do things are the ones who always try their best to hide and hide behind things.
Correct.
You'll find these are the biggest drug-opposed leaders in the world.
They're like, oh, drugs are terrible. We've got to stop the drugs.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer, we know for a fact, is one of these major anti-drug people.
Exactly.
So, all right. You know what? Stop believing these assholes. They don't know any better than you. They are not even as smart as you. They are below average smart. So if you're average, you're smarter than them. Certainly. That's how dumb. They can't even hide their bag of cocaine, these amateurs. All right. Thanks, everybody. Cyril just thinks about cupcakes.
He just thinks about cupcakes.
He's not thinking about cocaine.
Man.
Cupcakes? I would love a cupcake.
Cupcakes and pala pala.
What is cocaine? I've never seen that. I don't know. I can't even find my iPad. How will I find cocaine? I watched that clip. I didn't see anything.
They go, Cyril, would you like some?
Who saw something? Did you see something? I didn't see something.
They go, Cyril, would you like some icing sugar?
Oh, I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah, and the cupcake. Yeah. That's all he actually thinks about.
I'm always so surprised. All right, thanks, everybody. That's all we got time for this morning. We will see you Wednesday. Live from Durban on Wednesday, I'm excited about. Ooh. We'll tell you all about that when we get there. Super Megalal's last comment, you get the last word. I want to see Jay-Z and Cyril smashing fat lines at Kantla. All right, cheers, everybody. See you later. Thanks, Mash.
Ciao.